Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everybody. And it is once more Friday night. And you are tuned in to listen to myself, Robin A. McKean, and my good buddy, Lisa Walters Ripple, and listen to us talk about a lot of nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right. Tonight's show is the show about nothing.
That's right. It is just like Seinfeld. It is the show about nothing. We had scheduled Rachel Ginther, and unfortunately, she has been unable to be here this evening. And we will rectify that. I know she really wanted to be here with us. But, you know, life happens, and these things can't be avoided. I'm laughing at a comment in the chat room. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so lost.
It's okay. It's all right.
I'm so lost.
It's all right. So I just wanted to apologize for Rachel. She couldn't be here this evening. But we will get her back on the show as soon as we can because I have so much to ask her about. She is doing this wonderful healing retreat. It's not a retreat. It's almost like a vendor day, but it's not a vendor day because you can't sell anything. But it's the healers healing healers. So if you're somebody that has a healing modality that you operate inside, you can all go to her farm this day and set your stuff up and trade services with other healers. No money is to exchange.
Like if you're a Reiki person, but mm-hmm. you'd like to get
a massage
or a reading,
yes.
you could give them Reiki and they'll give you the reading or the massage or whatever.
Exactly. Which is really, really nice. And it's in upstate New York. It's in the Albany area, I believe.
I think that's what she had said last time.
Yeah. And let me see. I gotta find her post on Facebook about it. And then I can give you all the details.
You're getting so good with this multitasking thing.
I know, isn't it amazing?
It is. I used to be the one jumping around on the internet and stuff, and now before I even get there, you're already done.
Well, I'm still looking for it. It's on here somewhere. I just have to look at her page.
Oh, Niv got it.
Saturday, August 15th, 10 a.m., the Garden at Thunder Hill, which is a center for spiritual evolution in Rensselaerville, New York. Terrible, I know.
Did you have wine with dinner?
No, I just had a cup of tea.
I had wine in dinner, but I didn't have it with dinner.
Yeah, no. But Saturday, August 15th at 10 a.m., I believe if you'd like to set up, there is a small fee for setting up for the day, and that really is to cover stuff like bathroom use, because it's your house. you know, mm-hmm. and I think electricity. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I was
going to
say maybe electricity.
Yeah, but you know, if you need it, but go to it's Healers Helping Healers at and Facebook events. It says Facebook.
Yeah, if you just go to your
events.
Facebook search bar, and
mm-hmm.
you put in Healers Helping Healers or whatever
It'll
you
pop
just.
Up.
It should come up as one of the options to look for.
Yeah, so I'm going to be there. Terry will
and
be there with
that?
Me. August 15th. It's a Saturday. Starts at 10 a.m. And so Terry and I will be there, and so will Persephone. She's coming with us.
Oh, good for her. She's going to love all the animals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be animals and lots of stuff to do. I mean, and Rachel has kids, and yeah, so because we had talked about that. So... And
well,
she also
wonderful.
Makes wonderful essential oils, and so I mean she's amazing. She does all these cool things. So anyway, look that up if you're interested. And there's a lot of they do a lot of off the grid living and homesteading, and she's really cool about wanting to share her knowledge with you. And I'm so sorry she couldn't be here tonight. I know she is too. But like I said, we'll get back in touch with her and we'll get her on the show again. And I, you know, I just talked to her last week about all this, and she was so excited. So I know that she was very upset that she couldn't be here tonight. So anyway, but in the interim, we will then do the show about nothing or tidbits, or you could call it a dash of this and a pinch of that, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, some corny name we could come up with for this kind of thing.
Well, I got something we could start up with.
Good, go for it.
Okay, next Friday is your birthday.
Yeah, it is. I'm gonna be
53. It's your birthday, and you're going to be as old as me.
Yeah.
It's my favorite day of the year. Because you can't run around going, well, I'm younger than you.
Yeah, you're in February, and I'm in July.
Yep, 6 months. You got 6 months on me.
Yeah. It's a good
but
year,
But, yeah,
though.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to do, like, a birthday show? What are we going to be doing?
I don't know. Terry was saying he wanted to take me out that night. Which means...
Can't show.
Which means... Well, I was thinking maybe having somebody fill in for me.
Mm.
And
we'll
be on with them.
Hmm? We'll talk.
We'll talk. It'll be like butter.
We'll talk. It'll be like butter. Yeah.
But then then we're going to have some people here at the mountain on Saturday for Lugnasa.
Yes.
And probably do a small ritual and barbecue and, you know, usual summer-typey stuff.
The stuff that gets done.
Yeah. I'll have some fun.
Yeah, Sam tried to have a bonfire last Sunday.
Uh-huh.
But it was 105 degrees outside in the dark.
Yeah, see, here it gets down into the 50s at night, so it's beautiful to have a fire.
Well, it was pretty funny because they built the fire, and she made a gigantic, you know, one of those summer picnic things where they have a little spout, you know, and you can make a whole bunch of it, and then people can just go fill their glass up all day long, you know, like a lemonade contraption, right? Well, she made sangria, white sangria.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. We cut up fruits and all that good stuff, and they brought it outside, and they made that, I know everybody has to have seen it on their Facebook page. There is a recipe for, it's called s'mores dip, and you melt the chocolate chips in the bottom of the pan. You put it in the oven. So you put the chocolate chips on the bottom of the pan. You decorate really nice with the marshmallows on top. You stick it in the oven just so that the marshmallows get brown, and then you use your graham crackers like chips.
Cool.
So it's a s'mores dip. So they make that. They go out there. They build the fire, and they're sitting like 8 feet from the fire, and she finally comes inside and goes, Mom, it's so hot out there. Can we come in and play Monopoly?
Oh, poor Samela.
So my dining room was full of a bunch of her friends, and they were all playing Monopoly.
Oh, that's cute.
In the air conditioning, because it was just so hot.
Too hot for the.
She's like, "Is it all right if we leave the fire out there?" I'm like, "I can see it. Don't worry, it's fine." And it suffocated itself on the humidity.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just so beautiful here at night. Right now, if I went outside, there are hundreds and hundreds of fireflies. And it's
Oh, yeah, we have them here, too.
Yeah. Oh, you do? I don't remember them from New Jersey for some reason.
Well, I live on the woods.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
well, my
I get there
was right on the woods too, and we never had them. And I always
yeah,
thought
but you also had a house. You had a house behind you.
No, I didn't. Not in Bayville. I went right into the
woods. Oh, not in Bayville. Not in Bayville. Yeah. Yeah, but you were very close to the shore when you were in Bayville. You were a little
mm-hmm.
closer than me because I've got that camp behind me
mm-hmm.
that where they can't build anything. So
mm-hmm.
it's there's the bay. Then there's that like
that
42
pine,
acres
yeah,
of pine
me.
Barrens.
Yeah.
And then there's my house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big gap where there's actually a lot of dense
yeah.
trees.
That's true.
And
I
they
was
like
only
it, but
block off the bay in
yeah.
Bayville. Yeah.
So you had a lot of breeze because
yeah.
of the bay. but I'm noticing we have some. We don't have as many as you do. Even when I was there in June, you had more than I have
yeah.
here.
Yeah, there are
so.
A ton of them here, and it's just beautiful. It looks like little Christmas lights in the street, you know, across in the trees, across the way. And you know, tonight is kind of a cool night, but they're still out there. They're not as numerous. Because it's like 53 degrees here right now outside.
Yeah, it's nice. We've had the last 3 days have been, as my daughter puts it, magical.
Mm-hmm.
Clear skies, the big fluffy little clouds that you get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the temperature during the day was higher than 80. But it wasn't a damp 80. It was a very dry 80. And the nights got really nice. And I can always tell because my air conditioner doesn't kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I know that it's not bad outside. If it runs continuously, I know it's a bad day.
Yeah.
So we've had some good nights, but that's going to end next week. So we're just going to, well, and also I had a drama the other night. So Sammy was taking a turn babysitting for Poopsie, and we
mm-hmm.
decide, I think I talked about it last week, that blueberry buckle recipe that my mom has.
Yep.
And she decided to make it for Adam, for my son.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could bring something over there because she was babysitting. Well, we get it all made, and we turn on the oven, and it's not preheating, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And I stick my hand in the oven, and it's, like, mm-hmm. on keep warm.
Hmm.
And then I start to smell a little gas. And I was like, well, this isn't good. So I turned it off, and I thought, okay, maybe when I turned it on, I half-clicked or something. So I turned it all the way up to, like, 400, figuring I'll kickstart the preheat, and nope, it was not getting hot. And I was like, great. Then I turned on my broiler, and my broiler worked just fine. So, I don't know. So something was wrong with the regulator or whatever, so I got to buy a new oven.
Oh, congratulations. Big deal.
Yeah. I get it on Sunday.
Awesome.
But so here we are with these two unbaked coffee cakes. Well, guess what? My toaster oven actually really bakes. You know, they say they bake, but whoever uses them for anything more than toast or making pizza rolls.
Right.
And, we baked it in the toaster oven, and you know what? It came out really good.
Awesome.
But it's not fun when you have to rely on your toaster oven because you're limited to your pots and pans.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, did it fit in there? Because that would be my thing. I'd be like, oh, my God.
You know what? We happened to put them in. I'm going to plug it again, Temptations. And we had it in two brownie squares, the 8x8s, and that fits in my toaster oven.
That's cool.
So I had to do them in two sections, you know, one at a time, but who cares? It wasn't like we were leaving that day with them. They were for the next day.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, that's just joyous. Like, I really needed to buy a new oven, like a hole in my head. Jeez.
We have a question.
Oh, we have a question. I'm sorry.
We have a question in the chat room that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no, go ahead.
Asking, explain this to me. July 31st, Wiccan holiday Lammas, and August 1st, Lugnash Da, or Lugnasa.
Or Lugi, as we call it affectionately.
Lugi. Yep, yeah, Lugi.
I'm probably wrong, so I'll let you field.
Well, generally... generally, most holidays on our calendar begin at sundown of the night before, of the eve before.
Right, right.
So that, to me, is how I explain it.
It's like Beltane, April 30th, mm-hmm. May 1st.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, but now, I always thought that Lammas and Lugnasa were the same. It's just another name.
Yep.
depends on your tradition and what you call it.
But yeah, they're pretty much the
same. It's like the one on February 2nd, Candlemas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one has another name too, Groundhog Day.
Well, Groundhog Day or Imbolc.
Imbolc, right. Or Candlemas. And I think Candlemas is more taking the Christian connotation because I know they refer to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That particular thing. And then you've got Beltane and and May Day, and you've got Samhain and Halloween.
Yep.
And even All Saints Day because that goes to the first. So, you know, you've got they're all mixed up. I think the only one that has a name all to itself is Yule.
Yeah.
I think that's the only one that's strictly all by itself.
Uh-huh. I'm getting a message. It looks like Rachel may be able to join us here any moment. She's having some technical difficulties.
All right. Well, we can still keep talking about nothing until she gets here.
It's giving her a problem. She keeps pressing the 1 to get in the host queue, and then it's telling her she's out.
Okay. Here's what you tell her. Uh-huh. Tell her to hit it once and wait. It takes a while. It does it to me every week. It used to be where you hit the 1 and it goes, you're now in the host queue. Now you hit the 1 and you get dead air for like a minute.
Okay.
And then you're in the host queue. If you hit the button again, it brings you in and dumps you back out. So tell her to just hit it once and wait.
Okay.
Because that's what it did. That's what it did to me tonight as well. And that's why I got bumped out of the room.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, she says she's listening. So, hi, Rachel.
Hi. We miss you.
Okay, Terry's going to bring you in because he can see you and he can see you through the soundboard.
The soundboard, right.
Yep, so he's just going to bring your number in. So hang on and he'll bring you in, Rach. Nope, she's in. Are you there? Yes, she's there.
I think
she just
so.
Heard the beep. Hi,
she's here.
Rachel.
Hey!
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. We're good. Now that I'm getting now that I'm getting a new oven, I'm great.
I heard about that. Oh, goodness. A little gas scare. It hurts anybody, right?
Oh my God! You know, and it's the funniest thing because the night before I had made sort of like I'd made a pork loin, but I sort of did it where it was almost like a chicken marsala. I used sherry instead, and I made red cabbage. And you know cabbage. Cabbage can smell kind of a little gassish when it's left over from cooking it the day before. So I kept thinking to myself, is it the pork that I'm making, or is it the red cabbage, or am I really smelling gas from the oven? And my kids were coming in and out of the house, and I'm going, do you guys smell gas? They're like, no, we smell red cabbage. But it turned out that it very well, I don't know if it was gas because, you know, if you turn on the broiler and it works perfectly fine, you're thinking to yourself, well, obviously it's burning the gas, so it's not just leaking into the house. But then I had asked a couple people online, and they had said that it's a separate direction, like where the gas goes is different where it goes when it goes to your broiler, because that's up in my oven. The broiler's up. And the oven flame is under. So it might be that there's a problem with whatever tube is going from the gas down to the bottom of the oven, but not to the top of the oven. Either way, anybody I talked to said it's going to be a couple $100 to fix it. So I said, I'm buying a new oven.
Oh, yeah.
Now I don't have to clean it this week.
Yep.
They can take it dirty.
I just like what you're making, Robin. I think we need to go to dinner at Lisa's house.
Oh. Yeah, that one I made it up, and you know the kids were always like, I hate pork chops. They're always dry. And I was like, all right, fine. So now when pork loin's on sale, I buy it. I cut it into like steaks or chops. I guess they're more chops. And I brown them, but I finish them in the oven on like 400. And while I'm doing that, I deglaze the pan with sherry and shallots and a little bit of some chopped garlic. And then I put it all in, and then I cheat really, really bad. Then I take the McCormick's pork gravy that Robin turned me onto. I make the gravy, and I add it to the deglazing stuff that's in the pan, put the pork chops back in, and then I finish up everything else I'm going to make, whether it's egg noodles or mashed potatoes or whatever else. And the kids love it. It's delicious, awesome. And it's so easy. It's a half an hour.
That's great.
Sounds good. Well,
yeah, I've been having a good week. Ron's been home for dinner, so I've been cooking, and now that I had my got my food saver, it was amazing how much better your steaks taste when you take them out of the freezer and they don't have freezer burn, and they're in a food saver, and they actually taste like you just bought them.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. So I'll shut up now.
I can tell that you're very excited about your new oven, babe.
I'm just, you don't understand. You know how ovens have the four little tiny grates?
Uh-huh.
Don't laugh. But no, you know what I'm talking about, right? They have the four stupid little grates, and if you have a big frying pan, you're trying to put it on two grates. This one has like one giant flat, it's a gas grill, but the grate covers the entire surface.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it has a tray underneath. More storage. You know I need that in my kitchen.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, I'm so happy. Yeah. And Rachel, did you hear that next Friday is Robin's birthday?
Robin?
Yes, yeah. Next Friday is her birthday.
I'm thrilled. Special show, or are you going to go play?
She's going to play.
Yeah, Terry has an idea. He wants to fly up the flagpole and see if
gets
that
wind.
Makes me happy. Yeah, take me out, huh?
Yeah, I'll give Terry an idea.
Anyway.
That's right. See,
Rachel,
now you know why
you
I gave you your birthday.
About...
Now I know why I gave you your birthday present when I saw you in June.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly. All right. I'm shutting up now. I'm muting my phone, so even if I talk, you won't hear me.
I love you.
Rachel, go. Let's hear about your festival.
Yes. Tell us about the festival. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the way you guys live off the grid and sustainability. It's such a hot topic these days. Everybody asks me questions all the time. I mean, I got a handful of chickens, and you'd think that I was, you know, I don't know, the homesteader queen around here all of a sudden. And I'm like, all you people have, like, farms and stuff. Why are you talking to me about my silly five chickens that I have? But anyway. So
well, they know
first,
that you know something.
You know, yeah, I know how not to kill chickens. That's about all I know so far.
That's all right. You can learn that.
I figured it would be pretty easy to learn that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheaper eggs, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, that's a fallacy. But at least they know what they're eating, so that's,
well, you
that's
know,
a good
that's
thing.
Well, exactly, that's exactly right. And you know there's a virus that's that's hit the whole chicken population. And from what I understand, the United States has lost about a third of its chicken population.
Really?
Yep. So from what I hear, it's something that's spread, I think, by birds that are flying over farms sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not even like they brought in infected chickens, but it's something that affects the chickens and it just kills them off.
Huh.
And so, I mean, people, what I've heard from people is you can expect the price of chicken and the price of eggs to go up over you know, like be as expensive as beef kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, my current problem, and maybe Rachel, you can help me with this a little bit, is
sure.
How do I keep them over the winter? Because everything I'm reading is telling me that they have to have 10 hours of daylight to keep them laying. And in order to do that up here, I'm going to have to provide them with artificial light.
You put a little light in there, yeah.
Just a light bulb?
Yeah, you put a little, we use like a little shop light, you know, and just...
A clip light.
Put a light bulb and put it on a timer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people fuss because, you know, it's not their natural cycle and... You know, if you are trying to have eggs in the winter, then that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be honest with you, and please, people, if you want to write me a letter, go right ahead, CERN.org. I'm really seriously thinking of changing their feed and turning them into meat chickens and slaughtering them going into the winter and then in the spring getting new chickens.
Yeah.
Just because
I mean,
the cost
the
of keeping them. Yeah. The cost
well,
of keeping them
in the winter because it, you know, you're where you are, it's cold, you know.
Yeah.
Their
yeah.
water's going to freeze and it's believe me, we don't have an outdoor thing to our barn because the frost line here, we have to dig 4 or 5 feet to take an underground water line. And so, you know, we carry water to all of our animals every, you know, twice a day, sometimes more if it's really cold because it freezes so fast.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I mean, the guys built me, we had this little structure, it was like a itty-bitty pole barn, you know, like a walk-in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they put a front on it and covered one side with chicken wire and one side they enclosed. And it's actually rather spacious for five chickens. But it's not heated and there's no insulation and there's no electricity running to it. So this is like a large undertaking if we want to send electricity out there. It's going to be an extension cord in the winter. I don't know how safe that is.
What about one of those tent heaters?
Yeah, but you know, those tent heaters are dangerous. People die all the time in their tents from them.
There's going to be a lot more air moving in and out of a chicken coop than a tent.
Chickens are very resilient. You don't need to necessarily have, you know, an insulated space. They will, I mean, I've seen chickens in Canada with, like a whole open side to their thing. It's more important that they get ventilation, you know, that they do have that air, and that, you know, the bedding and everything is clean, and that they're pretty darn hardy. Ours are out all year, unless it's really snowing or whatever. They're out, you know, they love it outside. So it's not that so much as how hard is it for you to get.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get chicken, you can get these things that are, it's like a plate that you, it's about 2 inches thick, and it heats the water, and it's on a kind of a rheostat. If the temperature drops below 35 degrees, it turns on, and so it, you know, turns it on. It just depends on what you want to, how involved you want to get over the winter, because that's, of course, the hardest time to do things.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I remember taking care of the horse here when we had the horse in the winter and trying to, you know, carry the water. And she was in the same thing. It was like a pole barn open on one side. And it was difficult. There were days where I was skating on the ice with a bucket of water to go out there, you know. You know, so we'll see. I haven't really made up my mind yet. My concern really is the cost of the electricity going out to the to the chicken coop with the light bulb, and then am I going to have to heat? Because last winter we had like 40 days that was below 0 degrees outside. It was insane.
I know.
So, you know, I'm honestly worried that they would freeze to death. So,
what breed do you have?
You know what?
They're
brown.
Cute.
They're cute. They're brown with little red things on their head.
And they greet you when you pull up.
And she did tell me when I first got them, and now I don't remember. They're very friendly. I mean, they love the kids. If I let them run around outside the coop, because I do that sometimes, they want to come over and see what the kids are doing. What are you guys doing over here? they'll come and nestle in the grass and watch the kids play. And they have this big forsythia bush with lots of, you know, hanging down to the ground. So there's a nice underneath the bush. That's their favorite place to go hang out. They feel safe, and they'd love to get all the bugs and stuff from under there, and then they nestle in.
I have an idea here because we're approaching 10:30 already. My big mouth took up a half an hour. How about we go to the song?
Okay.
And come back, and this way we won't be sidetracked. We'll come back as if we were starting over, and we could talk about the healers helping healers.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, tonight's song by my favorite group, Music for the Goddess, is In the Belly of the Goddess.
Awesome.
Over the snow, the light returns. The bravest flowers raise their heads. Expectation of spring.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it, and by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, we are back. And we are back this evening speaking with Rachel Ginther. And I'm going to talk about her upcoming event, healers helping healers. And I know that my good buddy Lisa is with us as well. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. So, Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about the event and what the goal of the event is.
Okay. So this event is happening August 15th. It's called Healers Helping Healers, and it's a networking event and day retreat. So it's open to all practitioners of the healing arts, you know, and there's many different varieties, that's for sure. I started this last year, and it came about by to the library in the next town over, and we live pretty far apart, so, you know, from each other. And the library had just a wellness event, and I went to this wellness event and had a table and talked to people, and I realized I didn't know a single practitioner that was there. And I thought, wow, this is really, it's too bad. I don't know these people. And so I decided to do something where people could come and they could meet other people that do healing work, and they could discover new modalities. And basically it's a day of exchange. So a lot of people that do healing work do not necessarily get worked on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so this is an opportunity to come and meet other people so that you have people you can get ideas from, you can mentor with, you can exchange ideas, and you can, share your gifts. And it's been, last year we had so much fun. We had so much fun. And I had people that came from 5 different states. There were people, and it was so funny because people would come, people that came from Pennsylvania, and mm-hmm. there were 3 different sets of people, and they found that they lived about 20 minutes from each other. And
wow.
And they didn't know each other. So mm-hmm. it worked out just the way I'd hoped. And so we set up a bunch mm-hmm. of easy up tents, and people set up their tables or their chairs or their, all different things. And we had all different types of modalities. People doing readings and aromatherapy, and a friend of mine did a Ayurvedic technique where you put oil mm-hmm. on the third eye. So it was great. Shamanic
awesome.
Work, all different things.
Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to it. We are going to be there.
Yay!
I mentioned that to you. I just have to fill out the registration form for each of us. Now, do you need a reg form for my daughter? She's 9.
No. It's really the registration form. I mean, you can just fill one out with her name so I know,
okay.
And, just sign it for me. But, no, the registration form is really we put together a directory that everybody gets a copy of so that if they didn't
cool.
meet everybody or if they forget who they met, they can find
mm-hmm.
them.
Oh, cool.
And get
that's
back
fine.
In touch.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we do it.
All right. And, I'm really looking forward to it, and I know so is my daughter. She's already talking about it. She's excited about going.
Oh, good. I'm glad she's coming. I have someone else that's coming with her son, I believe, is 11. So, yeah, they're going to be camping. So that's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there as well.
Yay. Excellent.
The other thing that I wanted to let everybody know is your fabulous line of essential oils. I have heard, and I haven't had occasion yet myself personally to use them, but I've heard such good things from people who have, that are friends of mine, and I'm just so excited to sort of pick your brain about all that when we get together. So tell us a little bit about your essential oils.
So I make flower essences, and I work with essential oils. So the flower essences work on mental and emotional patterns that we hold at an unconscious level. So my short and sweet version of that is essential oils or aromatherapy oils are the physical essence of a plant. They have mm-hmm. a smell. They have a taste. They have color. A flower essence is the spiritual essence of a plant. So it's like vibrational. It's like energy medicine. I combine them. I mix waters from sacred sites, the flower essences, and the aromatherapy oils. Now, pure essential oils, aromatherapy oils, work on the brain chemistry. And so what they do is they can shift and change the actual chemistry that's going on in our body. And then the flower essences work on mental and emotional patterns that are held unconsciously that keep us doing behaviors that don't always work for us, but we're so used to them and we have it grooved into our nervous system, you know, that we're compelled to do things that we don't necessarily want to do. So the combination of those things work to help people shift and change patterns, to develop new ways of being in the world. I have countless stories of all different kinds of things. I mean, I made something about a year or two ago, and it's usually in response to either things I'm seeing with the clients that I see, like a repeated pattern, and then I make something to address that, or it's by request. And I had people that were looking for their soulmate, you know, and you found yours, so you don't need this. But so people were looking for their, you know, their special person that mm-hmm. they want to be with. And what I was finding is that so many relationships, people are clearing up karma. They are, you know, they're just releasing old things. They're trying to figure things out. And so I made what's called a karma cleanse, and I made soulmate. And they're kind mm-hmm. of meant to go together so that you work through the karmic parts without having to get into a 20-year relationship to do it. And then you can, you know, bring to you that person that, you know, best fits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's I do something, one of my most popular ones is called All Clear, which clears what I call the road dirt, all the stuff mm-hmm. you pick up from other people and end up processing that's not really yours.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
So anybody who's empathetic can mm-hmm. relate to that, an empathetic type of healer or person. And so you can also use that to clear not only yourself, but to clear spaces, to clear rooms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times a practitioner will use it in between clients, or they might clear a client when they first come in so they don't have to, you know, the client doesn't have to process all the stuff that's on the surface. You can get to deeper things more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Maybe I should cancel some of that for some of my clients. Every once in a while I run into a client that they come in and you can just tell they're feeling resistant to
mm-hmm.
wanting to open up that day for some reason. I mean, everybody has different moods, whatever
it
is.
Yeah, just distracted. You know, something mm-hmm. happened, and they're really distracted. And
mm-hmm.
yep, I agree. Yeah, it's good for that. And there's groundingness, and there's letting go, and there's little kits, and there's I make over 500 things. So there's lots of different things.
So you're a busy lady.
It keeps me out of trouble. Not really, but I try.
When you distill the flower essences, is it a distillation process? Is it steam, or is it like a tincture? I mean, how do you?
Flower essences are made. Now, most people are familiar with Bach flower remedies.
Yes, yeah, I am.
And right, so Bach was a physician who was in England, and mm-hmm. he had cancer, and he was basically sent home to die. And he went to his country estate, because that's what you have in England, you have country estates. And he went, and he started to spend time in nature. And he was noticing that when he was with certain types of flowers, he felt different, and he felt better. And so he started working and basically doing an energy exchange with these plants, and he healed himself of cancer.
Wow.
So his whole premise was a lot about fear, you know. A lot of his remedies address these deep-seated fears that people carry, you know, unnamed fear and you know, just very just things that are sap your energy, you know, that take away. And so he did. He built that. And so then he went back into his practice, and he took all of this, you know, he made these remedies. And the way you make them, I'm getting there, you actually, he floated flowers in a bowl of water
mm-hmm.
in the sunlight. So the sunlight acts as an activator. The water is a conductor and what holds the pattern. So what you're doing is you're taking the flower and the sine wave signature, the energy pattern of the flower, and you're imbuing mm-hmm. it into that water.
Right.
And then the Bach flower essences are they're preserved with brandy, which is why I think people really like them. But and you can use lots of preservatives. I actually use something that's called atomidine, which is let me take that back. I used to use atomidine, which is based on an Edgar Cayce formula, but from what I understand, mm-hmm. that it's not done the way Cayce had them do. It's not the detoxified iodine that the Casey Remedy calls for. So I found someone that actually does make that, and that's what I use. Hmm. And iodine means violet in Greek, and it is, so it adds an extra level of transmutation to the whole thing.
Interesting.
We have a question in the chat room. Tammy would like to know, Rachel, do you offer any type of classes on herbology and aromatherapy?
I do. I'm not sure where Tammy's from, but I travel and do classes. And I also, we have, in upstate New York, we have a retreat center. And so this is where the Healers Helping Healers is going to be. We're 25 miles outside of Albany, New York. And so I teach classes here. And I teach a lot of classes in Massachusetts. I'm there once a month.
She's in New Mexico.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to get the online thing going on here.
Okay. Go to meeting. Yeah. I will show you how to use it because I use it to with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
People across the country.
You know,
it's so easy.
Yes.
Now, if she goes to the Facebook page, the Healers, what is it called? Healers.
It's Healers Helping Healers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Healers Helping Healers. She can reach you through that Facebook page?
She can. She can
Beautiful.
Also reach me through Garden of One or the Garden at Thunder Hill, a center for spiritual evolution.
Garden of One. And what's the Garden of One at?
Just Garden of One. That's the product page on Facebook. And then the Garden at Thunder Hill, a center for spiritual evolution. I think if you get a Garden at Thunder Hill, it'll probably come up.
Okay.
But that's the retreat center.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I will add that in there, and also the Healers Helping Healers. All right. Thank you, Terry, for posting that .com for me. All right. Good to know. And then this way, when you do get stuff up there, it'll be on those pages, and she'll be able to access that, or at least ask you questions if she needs
to. And she can always join the email list on the website, which is gardenofone.com.
Cool. Okay. And she's in the chat room, so I'm sure she's hearing this as well.
Okay.
So that's good. Good. All right. Thank you. Resume.
Yes, absolutely. So, there, you know, I make all the vibrational products. One of the things I make is something called transgenerational mist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for actually releasing family patterns in the past and future. Hmm. And I have a kit, and I'll tell you a funny story about this. I had someone who I do a lot of shows. I go to a lot of holistic events and health, you know, things, metaphysical things. And so I have a booth and I have all my things and I try and help people find what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is someone I was at something I've done for many years, to women's thing. It's called Where Women Gather, and it's a wonderful event in the beginning of June in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there, and I taught a class, and she really wanted to get the kit. And then she was like, oh, you know, I don't think I want to spend the money right now. I'm like, that's fine. You know, I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. So I got a call from her a couple weeks after that. And she said to me, okay, I have to get the kit. You knew that, didn't you? I'm like, well, you know, I'm here. And so she ordered the kit and I sent it to her and didn't hear from her. One of the things we had talked about when, you know, the reason we ended up coming up with that particular kit was she wanted to go to California. She wanted to study this particular program. She wanted to do like five different things, and she was just afraid, and she couldn't get out of her own way. She was just, I want to do these things so badly, and I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably about 3 or 4 months, and I got an email from her, and she said, I'm in California. I'm in the program I wanted to be in. And all the things that she couldn't do, she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that her guides told her that by doing the kit, she sped up her evolutionary process as a being by 50 years.
Wow.
Which was something I was so happy for her. I was so, you know,
Absolutely.
I was so
awesome.
Grateful that she took that step and was able to do that.
Yeah. And that's really what a lot of people need, is to just set aside the fear. I find that with my clients as well. And there's always a fear or a reason why they've convinced themselves they can't do something. And as the person looking into their life, you think, why are you letting this stop you? But sometimes they have to come to it on their own terms.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if you've got a kit to help that along, I may get some of those too for someone. Here, try this.
That's right. What do you think? But yes, there's that's why, you know, it's funny because they say you always make something for yourself first. I'm like, wow, I must have a lot of problems. I make so many things. But it's funny because the consciousness keeps shifting and changing, and flower essences, because they work with energy, you know, they're working with the basic essence of creation. I mean, you can really change anything when you work at that level. And they're gentle. Well, they're mostly gentle. I mean, they can be gentle, but sometimes they can really, you know, rock your world. It's like homeopathy. When you get the right remedy, watch out.
Yeah.
You know, things can really change. So, and there's so many things. I mean, I'm in the process of developing. Now, I know that you do all kinds of things with people, Robin. I'm in the process of developing a whole protocol for Lyme, because I've been encountering so many people with Lyme disease. And it's one of the most difficult things. They say it's the fastest growing infectious disease in the world.
Yeah. And it's one of the hardest things to truly diagnose, because they really only have tests for a certain percentage of the types of Lyme disease that can manifest in your body. And the others, they don't know how to identify them.
Exactly. I think I've read there's over 300 different types of Lyme.
Yeah, and they
and
test
not
for like
to mention co-infections.
Four.
But
yeah.
Exactly.
And secondary infections that happen from them that people don't have diagnosed.
Well, and they've found so many things like ALS and Alzheimer's and fibromyalgia, so many different things that are connected. And
things that mimic MS. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Fascinating. I mean, fascinating and kind of horrifying at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the little bite from this little itty-bitty bug, you know.
Well, and they're saying now that it's spread. I know people have gotten it from mosquitoes. I mean, it's any biting insect can carry it at this point, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Bacteria.
I remember back in the early 80s, people, the big fear was, you know, could HIV, the virus HIV, be spread by mosquitoes and ticks and things? And they went through a lot of that, and they still they say no, but you know, I should keep my mouth shut, because I don't necessarily trust what our healthcare professionals always tell us. But,
well, exactly, and I think if enough, you know, if people's immune systems are tanked, you know, anything's possible.
Absolutely. Well, it is, let's see, about 10 minutes before the hour. It's actually 10:53. I was just going to maybe wrap up a little bit here, and I have so much more to talk to you about. We have to have you back, obviously, another night.
I would love to.
Yeah, I think one of the things I would love to do is just have you on, maybe like on a rotating schedule every 6 or 8 weeks or something.
That'd be so fun.
You are so much fun to talk to, and you always have something going on, and just so much I would love to pick your brain about.
Happy to be on whenever.
Cool. Awesome. That's awesome. Thanks.
I have the business whenever you're ready for the business.
Okay, then let's give them the business.
Give them the business. All right. Yay. My jobs are small, but I love them. Okay. As always, you can reach Robin and I at Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on Facebook. You can reach Robin and Terry at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook. You can email them at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Of course, if you have any complaints about the radio station or us or the engineer or anything else you see here at Spiritual Radio Network, you can reach out to us at cern.org@gmail.com, Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, and of course, as you all know, because you're here listening, you can sign on at spiritualunityradionetwork.org.
Yay. And Rachel, one more time, if you wouldn't be so kind to let people know how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to get some of your essences or work with you in some way.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, shoot.
I can be reached through the website, our website, it's www.gardenofone, and that's all spelled out, GardenOfone.com. And you can find out about our retreat center there. We have a farm, that's LadyLibertyFarm.com, excuse me. And hopefully we'll get to see you at the Healers Helping Healers Saturday, August 15th. I know I'm going to get to see Robin.
Yes, we will definitely be there.
All right. Very good.
All right. Sounds wonderful. I think that in the last 5 minutes, I would just like to say thank you very much, Rachel, for managing to get here. That was really wonderful. Thank you so much. I really
thank
appreciate
you.
That.
I really
I know it was hard.
It.
Lots of stuff going on there where you're at, and I do really appreciate it. And as always, thanks to Lisa, who is always there for me. And
rambling and
spewing and helping.
Stuff.
Always helping, always helping. And you are, you know I can't do this without you. And
yeah.
Next Friday.
Robin's birthday.
It is my birthday. And I'm not sure whether we're going to run a best of show or whether we will be trying to have somebody maybe fill in for me because he hasn't told me what it is yet, but he's taken me somewhere. So, it'd be a lot easier not to have to leave here at 11 o'clock at night to go start our evening. And I'll be sure to tell everybody the week after what it was he actually surprised me with, as long as it's PG.
It's not going to be PG. It's Terry, and it's your birthday.
You think?
I think.
Well,
I'm sure if he had a way that he could get Persephone to me for the weekend, he would.
I don't know about the whole weekend, but we'll see. But anyway, so thank you, everybody, for tuning in this evening and listening. And
thanks for all the foodie conversation in the chat room. We were having a really good old time talking about salad and food and and anybody who wants it. You know, we can always go completely off spiritual wellness and physical health, and we could just talk about food one night. So if anybody wants to just talk about yummy ways to make food, because as Niv and Glacius... Well, I know, but we're talking about my kind of food. Glacius and Nib were talking about chicken fried steak, and I was actually like, what? I've never had that.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe one night we'll get to do we can all just talk about all our favorite foods, and we can read everything everybody writes in the chat room, and then we wouldn't have to think too hard for the hours before the show.
Oh, there was that, too. Yeah, there was that.
Exactly.
Maybe
we could bring Rachel back, and she can talk about food, too.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I'll share my buttermilk biscuit recipe, which is really
easy. Oh. All right. Well, I will say goodbye, Rachel. I'm sorry. I can't make it to the thing next weekend.
I wish
on the 15th.
Could.
I have a thing, but...
That's okay. We're going to do it the next year. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't have a healing model to trade. I would just be sapping everyone's energy.
Well, you can develop one between now and then.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll try. All right, I'll work on that. Robin, you got to find me a healing modality, okay?
Your healing modality, honey, you already have one. You heal people.
I think it's cooking.
Well, there's cooking. See,
crafting.
I didn't know she was a kitchen witch up until about 6 months ago.
Rachel, you should go back and listen to the Kitchen Witch show. It's absolutely hysterical.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I amazed myself that I found my path. Meanwhile, I'd been on it. Everybody else is like, what? Well, if you look up Kitchen Witch, the first thing it says is, makes household chores a breeze. I'm like, no, this can't be me. I don't freaking clean. Forget about it. Anyway, all right.
This is her healing modality. She makes people laugh. She makes them feel so good. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll sing and put on a show.
Beautiful.
I'll do my Roseanne Barr impersonations.
Oh, geez.
All right, kids, I'm going to go because if I don't stop talking, we'll never go.
All right. Good night, Rachel. Thank you again for coming. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you, and I will talk to you soon. And Lisa, as always, honey, thank you for carrying me. You're awesome.
Love you.
I love you, too. And as I always end every show, blessed be and spread the love, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.